With you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since she was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention. When, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A couple of weeks ago when I was preaching the retreat for bishops in Indiana in this beautiful retreat center of Opus Dei outside of Chicago, I was shocked when I was planning to end each of my conferences with a particular reference to Saint Joseph, who really has to be a special model and patron for bishops and for anyone with a special custody of the church, that in that chapel of the work, there was no image of Saint Joseph at all. I commented to the various priests there, I have never been into a chapel of Opus Dei that didn't have an image of Saint Joseph in some form or another. And they started to look around and they recognized it was true. It reminded me of the story from 1980 when a young Spanish kid in an audience of John Paul II with young people asked Pope John Paul II, why out of the 152 statues that surround St. Peter's Square, there was not one statue of the Queen of Saints? And he turned to his two secretaries. One was Monsignor Givish at the time, who really didn't know. The other was an Italian who had been around Rome for a long time. And he said, I think the young boy is right. And that's why we got the image of Our Lady, Mother of the Church, in a mosaic made by the Vatican Mosaic Studio to look over all of St. Peter's Square, presenting us Jesus. I hope the next time I go to Shelburne Conference Center outside of Chicago, there will be an image of some form of St. Joseph. I bring that up because since that retreat 2 weeks ago, everywhere I go, I'm looking for statues of St. Joseph to orient prayer. And as I've been looking around, I've seen six different forms of statues of St. Joseph, which can give us six different windows into who this man was and what he has done in the church and what he wishes to do in our life. One of the first images of St. Joseph is, of course, with the Blessed Mother. We've got so many images of the betrothal of Joseph and Mary. Others, as they are together, joint adoration of their son. What do we see in St. Joseph and the Blessed Mother? If this year we are celebrating the special centenary of Our Lady of Fatima, we see in Joseph the one who most models Mary's discipleship. Her fiat was echoed by his fiat when, after her Annunciation, The angel appeared to Saint Joseph in a dream and said, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, as we heard in this gospel. And Joseph didn't. He said his fiat in his body language and immediately took Mary into her home. If Mary had a contemplative heart that was pondering all of these things, seeing them as mosaic pieces and tying them to the whole, how much Joseph's heart modeled Mary's heart. He's a silent man. He never says a word in sacred scripture, but he is constantly digesting the word that God was saying to him. We likewise see in Saint Joseph someone fully consecrated to Mary, and in Mary to her son, and in that son to the Father. If there's anyone who would have ever said the words with which Carol Joseph Wojtyla would begin every morning, those words from St. Louis-Marie Grignion de Montfort's consecratory prayer to Our Lady, it was St. Joseph. I am all yours, Mary, and all I have is yours. I accept you into the totality of my being. Give me your heart, Mary. Give me your heart. Give me your heart and love. Give me your heart so that I can love the Son that God has given to us the way you have. Give me your heart so that I may purely love you. Those statues of Joseph and Mary, those images of this holy espousal, need to inspire us in our relationship with Our Lady. Second famous image is of Joseph holding the baby Jesus. Like so many statues of Our Lady, some have Jesus looking to Saint Joseph, some have Joseph turning and having Jesus look on the whole world. But we see in these statues first the protector of the baby Jesus, the one who risked his life to protect him when Herod and his henchmen were hunting him down, the one who doubtless protected him while they were journeying through the desert in the middle of the night, the one who protected him throughout life, the one who was tortured when he thought he had failed in his job of protection, when Jesus was 12 and stayed behind in the temple. We also see a provider for the little baby Jesus, his whole livelihood caring for his son and that son's mother, someone who brought out the best in him, brought out the calluses, brought out that hard work. Likewise, we see one who loved Jesus and loved him with all he had, and remains a model for each of us how to approach Jesus, not just in his infancy, but as he continues to grow. On this feast day, we can learn from St. Joseph how to love Jesus better. Third common image, it's probably the most famous of them all, Joseph with the Holy Family. Joseph there in Nazareth. Joseph at the presentation carrying the two pigeons. Joseph and Mary finding Jesus in the temple, asking the questions of the chief priests and the scribes so that he could teach them in a Socratic way, less intimidating way. Joseph there in the carpenter shop with Mary overlooking and Jesus learning. Joseph is the icon, is in those icons of the Holy Family because he's an extraordinary protector of the family. In an age in which the devil is slithering to try to divide the family, his familial love and virtues are where we need to go. Fourth image, whenever I'm down in Alabama praying, and it is the prayer for which I am, by which I am here, because that was the statue a couple years ago when I was praying every day that I would have a solution to place to be able to celebrate Mass so that I could grow in faith. And the Lord rewarded me with you there at that statue of St. Joseph in the chapel in Alabama. He's holding a lily. Now, I always have a problem with guys holding lilies. It's not a particularly masculine image, so you have to get used to it. Plus, the statue is painted in a little kish way. But nevertheless, Joseph is manly despite the color scheme and despite the lily. But the lily, as we know, is not so much a sign of the resurrection of Jesus in the prophecy, but of his purity, of Joseph's chastity. And we call St. Joseph castissimus sponsus, not just castus, not just chaste, but most chaste spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And sometimes, especially those of us in religious life or the priesthood, we can think of chastity as some type of barrier to love. St. Joseph's love was extraordinarily passionate to the Blessed Virgin. He shows how to love with all one's heart and strength, and at the same time to love purely, same time to love without possession. For those who are married, St. Joseph shows how to love chastely and in the most chaste way, so that the devil can't corrupt the love which is supposed to lead to heaven. Today in the church, how much Catholics in every state of life, especially those who are unmarried, need to learn from St. Joseph how to love for real, how to love with all one's gut, but how to love in such a way that the love doesn't become lost. St. Joseph wants us all to take up those silly lilies and proclaim it by who we are and how we conduct ourselves. Fifth image, which I have on both of my desks, my desk at the mission and my desk at home, it's a statue of St. Joseph the Worker. They're hard at work providing for the Holy Family, making himself in the process, because when we work, we not only make something, but we form ourselves. And also teaching. So many of the statues of St. Joseph show him teaching Jesus the honest trade of being a tecton, being a builder. And from that building, Jesus would have learned, for example, his image of how we're supposed to respond to the Word of God. That we don't build houses on sand, but we build them on solid rock. Jesus would have learned, according to his humanity, how to do that precisely from St. Joseph. And lastly, the most popular new statue of St. Joseph, which I was given a few weeks ago as a birthday present, was the one Pope Francis has now been making more and more famous, and the Filipinos are making a killing across the world selling, which is the statue of the sleeping St. Joseph. Pope Francis wanted very few objects to be sent to him from Buenos Aires, but one of them was the statue of the sleeping St. Joseph, which he puts on his little bedstand and underneath which he puts so many of his prayer intentions before he goes to bed, trusting in St. Joseph. What's the point of this statue of the sleeping St. Joseph, which is now on my bedstand? It shows how even while St. Joseph was sleeping, St. Joseph was attentive to the Word of God. We see in St. Joseph that God gave him messages in his dreams. Don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary, your wife, into your home. Get up immediately, Joseph, and take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt because Herod is seeking to destroy the child. And then in Egypt, in a dream, yet again, Joseph, do not be afraid to return, because the one who sought to kill the child is now dead. St. Joseph shows to us how to pay attention to the Word of God, even in those times when we're dreaming. We may not have the same types of dreams that St. Joseph did or St. John Bosco did later, because the Lord may speak to us directly in prayer. But that type of receptivity to God's Word is key. Likewise, led by Pope Francis, Pope Francis is trying to help us all to learn to entrust ourselves to St. Joseph even while we sleep, to sleep like St. Joseph, attentive, and to ask him to care for our most needed attention so that he will be working even while we are resting. What a beautiful devotion that is for all of us. So many of the statues over the course of the centuries of St. Joseph were placed on pedestals, and the pedestals had an expression in Latin at their base, which would say, Ite ad Joseph, go to Joseph. That was taken, as we know, from Genesis, where it was said first by the Egyptians and then by Joseph's brothers that they would go to Joseph in order to receive their help in time of famine. But from St. Teresa of Avila on, the Church has adopted that as the means by which we go with haste to this Joseph, the just man who adjusted his entire life to God's plans. Today we go to St. Joseph. We go to learn from him how to love Our Lady, how to love the Lord Jesus, how to love the gift of the family and grow in it. We go to him to grow in chastity, to grow in the capacity to do our work and be sanctified through it, and to consecrate even our sleep to the Lord. St. Joseph had the extraordinary pleasure of being able to hold the Savior of the world in his hands. Today, as we prepare to receive him within, let us ask St. Joseph's help so that we might adjust our whole life to this extraordinary gift. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.